you have a legal system that is fraught with politics and preference for certain groups, then they expect us to use that same legal system to press enforcement.
With me today is Maria Cahill, a volunteer from the Pacific Northwest Family Center, a community group supporting Washington and Oregon families affected by police violence. The group will meet with Oregon Representative Janelle Bynum for a town hall on Thursday to discuss several policing bills being considered at the State House. Thanks for joining me, Maria.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ethan.
The Pacific Northwest Family Center has been on KBOO a couple of times. Could you quickly reiterate what it is that your community group does?
Yeah, so we unite families who've lost loved ones to police violence. We're a multiracial organization and invite family members of any relationship to someone who's been killed by police to struggle for justice with us. Our mission is to change laws and policies and ultimately to change the culture of policing in Oregon and Washington. Basically, anyone can join if they live in Oregon and Washington and have had a family member killed somewhere else, or if a family member has been killed in Oregon and Washington.
And there's a couple of bills going through the State House right now that your group is interested in. Could you explain what's in those bills?
Well, I would love to. And this is why everyone should come to the town hall and find out what's actually in the bills, because what happens with legislation, if folks don't know, is that one single word in a piece of legislation can change the way it's interpreted from holding police accountable to letting them, again, just continue to do whatever they want to do. We have a number of bills that we've prioritized this legislative session. House Bill 2309 requires peace officers performing official duties in uniform to display certain information on the uniform. You know, identifying police officers is important to Pacific Northwest Family Circle family members because the officers in last year's protests were intentionally covering up their identifications with like cell phones and other pieces of equipment so that they wouldn't be held accountable for excessive force and likely misconduct. We're very interested to see that peace officers performing official duties need to have certain information on their uniform, and we have very specific guidance. We feel like this is a good start, but there's a lot more that needs to be done to be able to identify an officer from, let's say, 25 feet away. The community should be able to identify a police officer. If we want to support police officers and know what they're doing and hold them accountable, this is one way to do it. House Bill 2481 prohibits law enforcement agencies from receiving certain military surplus equipment from federal government. There are two family members in Pacific Northwest Family Circle whose loved ones were killed by police from an armored vehicle. 54-year-old loved one Remy Sabby was on his own property during a mental health crisis when Washington County sheriffs showed up in a tank. We're not supposed to call it a tank, but it's basically a tank, an armored vehicle, and was killed from the safety of that armored vehicle. Loved one, Captain Brian A. Babb, was in Eugene. He was a veteran and having a PTSD crisis. He was in the middle of a conversation with his VA counselor, and she called for a wellness check on him, and police officers came and killed him in an armored vehicle. So we are very interested to get rid of military surplus equipment in Oregon. This law does not do that, but it does start to limit what's called the 1033 federal program, which actually gives surplus military equipment free to various agencies, or there's another grant program that they can buy it at low cost. House Bill 2513 requires police officers to be trained in airway and circulatory anatomy and physiology and certified in cardiopulmonary resuscitation. You know, I kind of balked at this bill because I thought, really, you don't know that you're going to kill somebody by kneeling on their neck for 9 minutes? But a family member, April Sabby, wife of 54-year-old loved one, Remy Sabby, said that after he was shot, police officers inappropriately tried to resuscitate him, and this caused him to bleed out faster. So with this training, police officers can no longer say they didn't know that that was going to happen. House Bill 2936 requires Department of Public Safety standards and training to investigate person's character before accepting person for training and certification as police officer or reserve officer. So this is something that Pacific Northwest Family Circle family members have been calling for through our monthly Feet to Fire protests that have been going on for the last at least three years. I guess maybe 4 years now. Since 2016, we've been outside the Multnomah County Courthouse and Clackamas County Courthouse, and we even went to Eugene, to Lane County Courthouse once to call for police reform through the district attorney's office. And one of the things that we've been demanding through this national Feet to Fire protest, where other organizations are also going to their courthouses once a month around the country, these are part of our national demands to do a much better job at screening people. And so, again, this bill is a good start, but there are other things that we would want to see in this bill. House Bill 2933 provides that it is unlawful for government authority or agent to engage in pattern or practice that deprives persons of rights, privileges, or immunities. There are some problems with this, right? One arm of the government employs the police, and one arm of the government then investigates the police. I mean, ideally. Right now, the police just investigate the police. They investigate themselves. Like whenever a loved one has been killed, maybe that's changing now, but for all the members of Pacific Northwest Family Circle so far, police have pretty much investigated themselves. The next best thing is for some other branch of government to investigate the police. Now, we've seen how fraught that is with politics at the Department of Justice in Oregon, where the City of Portland settlement agreement has not been adequately enforced because that division was intentionally gutted by Billy J. Williams, our U.S. attorney, our outgoing U.S. attorney. The best thing after that would be to have community investigate police and decide on disciplinary action. But that's a Senate bill that we're not going to be looking at on Thursday. House Bill 2934 is the last one, and it provides that public safety officers who represent that person as acting as employee or agent of public body is acting in scope of employment for purposes of Oregon Tort Claims Act. There's other parts of that description. But I can tell you that this is really all about bringing civil suit against a police officer. And there are a lot of challenges with family members finding lawyers to represent them, even when they want to bring a legal case against the officers. This law would remove one of those barriers, which is that lawyers don't make enough money to take a case in Oregon. So this raises the limit to something that is more amenable to lawyers actually supporting families in their justice struggle. Those are the six that we're most interested in.
So you mentioned at the beginning that in addition to changing the laws of policing, the Pacific Northwest Family Center is also looking at changing the culture surrounding policing. I was hoping you could speak a little bit more to what that looks like.
Oh, my heart is just so warmed by this question. I really appreciate it. We operate as a public grieving organization. We try to work with the same transparency and accountability that we expect from police officers, and we try to work with the same kind of respect that we would like from police officers. For instance, all the Feet to Fire protests look different depending on what chapter is out there protesting in their own state nationally. Our protest is definitely filled with protest signs. And it's also, we set up a PA system, and we talk to the public for 2 hours about what families experience when they struggle for justice for their loved ones, what kind of harassment from police. Families get constant harassment. This is one of the reasons that families take settlements. It's one of the reasons why they will stay silent, is because they themselves are criminalized. The federal government doesn't even recognize them as victims. So we try to get information like that out into the public. Our official motto is peace, not police. Our unofficial motto is we break hearts. we're not necessarily yelling, we're lecturing, really. And I might be there speaking on behalf of family members that aren't there or on behalf of the organization. Other family members are certainly there speaking their truth, like Donna Hayes, talking about her grandson, Moose Hayes, known only in death as Quanis Hayes. We have red heart balloons for every single one of the loved ones with the names of them on there, hanging there. And there are people chalking the names of loved ones killed in Oregon and elsewhere, all up and down the sidewalk. So there's every month we do this protest, there's a temporary memorial for the loved ones. A lot of family members are not anti-police, even though police have killed their loved ones. We work to really try to keep police safe as well.
Have the police been open to dialogue?
We have not invited that dialogue, honestly, as an organization. Family members have gone to a variety of police chats. We have not invited it, nor has anyone reached out to us. But at our protests, Irene Kalonji's son, Christopher Kalonji, was murdered. He's 19 years old. He was murdered in his bedroom during a mental health crisis and was allowed to bleed out for 4.5 hours while they tear gassed his home and did $15,000 worth of damage. The Kalonji family, after the murder of their son, became houseless for 2 years. And I say all of this not only to get the story of Christopher Kalonji out there, which is one of the ways that we change all of the culture, but I also say this to let people know the extremity of what Irene and Tony have gone through. And yet, police officers will come up to her in front of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office and talk to her, and she is completely respectful. You know, she engages with them. So we engage with individuals when we can. We've had a conversation with Chuck Lavelle about two officers who harassed a family member for 7 years. They killed her son and then went to the McDonald's where she worked for 7 years, almost every day, and harassed her. And we went to Chuck Lavelle, who is now police chief, and said, this is happening and it needs to stop. And he investigated it and agreed, issued some paperwork to say that they weren't allowed to go to the McDonald's again, and they continued to go there. And nothing was ever done. You know, obviously, like, almost nothing is almost ever done. She had to quit her job to get away from those officers. So we don't have a lot of faith in those conversations necessarily, but we're open to them. I think the way we really change the culture of policing is by changing the understanding of the public so that they demand better. And we do that through storytelling.
In that particular case where you went to Chuck Lavelle and then he issued an order to those officers who were doing the harassment, even though there was an order in place, it wasn't particularly effective. Why might these laws and issuances from police administration not actually be enforced? And why might they not be changing police behavior?
I ask myself that every day. And that is a question that we're going to ask Janelle Bynum. How are these laws different? I look at these laws, I look at the language. There's no enforcement. So you have a legal system that is fraught with politics and preference for certain groups. Then they expect us to use that same legal system to press enforcement. You know, there's databases out there that are already requiring agencies to submit when they have excessive uses of force. Portland Cop Watch has been tracking this for the state for many years. They're not reporting all the cases. Portland Cop Watch finds many more deaths than are reported to the Department of Justice, and no one does anything. I don't have an answer for that, but I hope Janelle Bynum does.
Would you consider Janelle Bynum an ally in the state house? And would you say that you have other allies and sympathizers in the state house who are really going to lend their support to these bills?
I really can't answer that as an organizational spokesperson. We have not discussed much the concept of who we consider allies. And I think ally is a really important term that someone else gives you. And I have not heard any of Pacific Northwest Family Circle family members call any legislators an ally. That may be because of my own personal comments about how legislators are really motivated by other issues than what's really important to the family members whose loved ones were killed by police. I think for us, the only people we would really call allies are other people who've lost loved ones to police violence. And I will, for transparency, say that I am not one of those people and that I do not have any power in the organization. It's only family members who make decisions about how things happen. But I would say that there are a number of legislators who can be helpful. And I think Representative Bynum and Senator Manning and Senator Pozanski are some of the folks that have been helpful in this session.
You started the Feet to the Fire campaign 3 years ago. And in that time, the conversation around police violence in the United States has changed quite a bit. Just today, Derek Chauvin, the murderer of George Floyd, is going on trial for third-degree murder. Are there steps being made in the right direction right now, or is this sort of a one step forward, two steps back kind of a battle at the moment?
It's an excellent question. I really think we're moving forward. And I don't necessarily think we're moving forward as much in the legal realm. I think police are still inappropriately controlling a lot of the language around legislation. I know a lot of family members would like to see police officers not have so much influence over the language. But I do think that seeing people like Senator Pozanski waking up and recognizing that we don't have accountable police.
From KBOO News, I'm Ethan Sandweiss. Thank you.